My name is Frank Dirks
for Catholic Radio in South Carolina.
Delighted to be here today with Father Rhett Williams. He is the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Charleston, and he's also the chaplain for the St. Thomas More Catholic Church and Newman Center at the University of South Carolina. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Frank. Good to be with you.
You're originally from Charleston.
I am. Born and raised. You know, you don't find too many born and raised in Charleston. Still, people always laugh about it. But they, too, laugh about my name when they hear my first name, Rhett. It often is connected with Charleston. But born and raised in Charleston, and Bishop England's my alma mater.
Well, how were your years at Bishop England?
So I actually am a convert. I was public school up to ninth grade. Came from a great Christian family. Taught me everything I know about virtue and things that are good and the Lord. And then was at Bishop England High School. That was my first exposure to the Catholic faith, to Catholic education. And by the time that I had finished there at Bishop England, a lot of great questions had been asked. A lot of people invested in me. And so in my time at Furman University later for college, I was confirmed at Prince of Peace in Greenville.
What prompted your conversion?
Well, I've always loved history. I wanted to be an archaeologist and go live in Egypt and do that whole thing. I loved ancient stuff. That's what I loved reading. I just loved to know the background, the history behind things. And that stuck with me. So over time, combining the faith imparted to me by my parents and then the fullness of faith offered at Bishop England, all that kind of just came into one big bottle, shake it up, and it formed into really a desire to know more about the Catholic faith and its roots and its history, early church fathers, my freshman year at Furman. I read and wrote and really asked a lot of hard questions, my poor RCIA class, sophomore year. But that's kind of what led me into it, kind of reading into the faith. And then just the experience with the Eucharist was always a profound one for me.
You know, it's certainly true. We take for granted the culture around us, regardless of the conditions it's in. But that culture is rooted in the foundation of the Catholic Church, isn't it?
It is. There's so much that we don't realize. Even, part of my job is often reminding people how much of our culture, of even our language, how we refer to things, the days that we celebrate, our holidays, how most of them all run back to some kind of relation to the church.
What was the most striking thing that you learned in your study of history as it relates to the church and this Western culture?
You know, we talk about the zeal of converts. I was always just amazed at the early church, how zealous they were. They encountered someone. We don't encounter words or a law. We encounter a person. With the passing of Pope Benedict, you know, his famous quote comes to line that this is an encounter, an event, a person. It's not an ethical choice. It all starts with the person. And as the early church encountered that person of Jesus Christ, they just started running through walls, as my college kids like to say. It was impressive. And then as I saw, it impressed me. And then I said, well, where does that come from? I want to know that person. I want to know where that comes from. And as I read their stories, as I read the great miracles and the lives of the saints, the zeal for what is good and true and beautiful, the zeal for the Lord from whom all good things come, just amazed me. And so that's my goal now, is to accept that into my life and to really inspire this next generation. See what the Lord offers you and then find some wall and run through it,
Well, we often think about, the term witnesses for Christ in the words of St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John, particularly Peter's comment about his personal witness on Mount Tabor at the time of Transfiguration in one of his letters. It was personal to them, and it can still be personal for us too, right?
Yes. We read the lives of the saints, the great martyrs. That comes from that old Greek word for witness. The martyrs, they witnessed to their faith. And our place and time in the U.S. right now, we may not be martyrs, but there are certain things in our own lives and our own discipleship that we have to die to self. It's a white martyrdom, we would call it. We have to sacrifice it, to give it to God and realize, okay, I may be drawn to this in this time, or maybe tempted in this. This may draw my gaze, but at this point, I'm called to die to that. I'm called to give my life to Christ in that moment and to be a witness, if you will, a martyr in that moment, so that other people, I always tell my college kids, listen, if you don't do it, ain't nobody gonna do it. Like, you're the only one in your circle of friends. If you disappear into the crowd doing what they do, if you don't die to self and do what you need to do, they will never learn. And so that witness is important.
and dying to self is contrary to so much of the popular culture we know today, and certainly not a common quality that you find on many college campuses. What do you think makes the experience of the young people you work with through the Newman Center so profound?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like every day I'm impacted more than they are. Many of us remember our college days, and you know, a lot of these students, the ones who are around the Newman Center, it's a profound impact on the people around them because they choose each and every day, our core students, to have some kind of affiliation or connection to God. And, you know, as I look back on my time, not many of us had a chapel and Newman Center so close to us. But in a world that attacks them repeatedly, that floods their world with, don't think of the things of God, think of the things that will please you. And that's okay. It's natural. It pleases you. And they constantly fight the battle. Do they win all the time? No. You know, well, as I say, I tell them, welcome to the human race. But they strive for the good in a time in which everything is challenging them. So in their newfound freedom, they're being challenged and they're choosing to strive for the good even when they fail. And to me, that always impacts me and it drives me forward. It's like, yes, okay, well, how can I provide more for them to impact their lives? Because when you see a young person, a young adult fighting for the good amidst a culture that does not support that, there's nothing that spurs a priest on more than that.
You're a young man not far removed from your own time at Furman University. So what was it like for you, and what was your journey to the priesthood like?
My parents instilled many good virtues, and I'm very grateful for that. We always say the domestic church is the home. That is the place where we learn all those first things. And so for me, that was the initial spot. So when we talk to parents and we really say, hey, you are the first teachers. You are the first witnesses for your children. What you do matters. What you choose to do on Sunday matters. You know, these are the habits being instilled into your children. And so for me, that was a great example, great sacrifice by my parents. So that's where it started. I played a lot of sports growing up. That taught me a lot of lessons, how to deal with people, how to not deal with people. It taught me a lot about myself and perseverance and sacrifice. And all that really translated, you know, into my academics. And then, as I mentioned, you know, bishoping on high school, my alma mater, really being asked the right questions and being supported in that growth, and then into my RCA class. So when I decided to come into the church, that was this deepening. What was already instilled by faith in my parents, it just painted a bigger picture. You don't realize how deep the rabbit hole goes until you see, wow, look at all of this that I now have access to, all the spiritual weapons, all the angels and saints, all the great mentors, all the great sacraments and spiritual tools. So for me, that was this encounter with the sacramental grace of the Lord that was ever present, no matter what was going on. And that was helpful to me in college. Then to the priesthood, as that began to light up in me, people began to see it. And people around me at the end of college would say, you know, you'd make a good priest. I'm like, whatever. No, I'm dating so-and-so or doing this. It wasn't till everything continually fell into place. I was in the Peace Corps in El Salvador for 3.5 years, lived in the shadow of a volcano, small community, 100% Catholic. Everything again lined up, really pushing me towards this idea of a call to the church. So by the time I came back to the diocese, I took a year, I actually worked in the vocations office, took a year to discern and the discernment groups that we were starting. And by the end of the year, that larger, wide call to the church became more and more specific that, you know, this may be a call to the priesthood. I still remember praying in a particular church in the diocese, and I'd struggled for a little while. And at the end of the prayer, Lord, you just tell me where to go, like wherever your will is. And I remember it was an instant response. It was, come and follow me. And so once I pulled myself up off the floor, you know, whenever you ask a question, you don't always expect an answer. And so when you get one, it'll shock you. But, you know, we talk about vocations, the great relief of once you decide to enter into something, you can take a deep breath and then allow yourself to desire it. So it was a beautiful moment.
What are the qualities that you think make a good priest?
You know, we often say, think of the qualities that would make a good father. One of the flags that always comes up, if the young man's like, you know, I could never have children. I could never be a father. That's just not me. I think I'm going to be a priest. You know, we're like, whoa, that's not how we want to approach it. Like, no, you know, the grace builds on nature. And there's a part of the person who needs to respect and love and be able to see themselves as a good and provident father. And so the good characteristics of an earthly father is the same that we should find in a spiritual father. Whether you go to St. Paul and how he describes the bishop, You remember the qualities that he begins when he's writing to Timothy, and then even sometimes referenced in Titus. You make sure that they're moderate, they're patient, they're not attached to too many things. Make sure that they are well received by their neighbors. So when we look and we talk with people, we want to see who their friends are. The number of letters of recommendation that you have to get is kind of crazy. We ask for 2 to 3 from each subgroup of friends, teachers, mentors, all your family members, everything we can kind of get our hands on. And it helps us see the full picture of who this person is. Are they peaceful, patient, kind? Are they generous? Do they serve? And then there are other characteristics that we look for. Like, does the person have a great devotion for the Eucharist? Do they have a devotion to the Blessed Mother? We find them at daily mass and in consistent confession. Do they serve in their community? Do they have an affinity for the poor? And so as these things begin to build, these are things that we notice and we see these characteristics. And that's when we begin to ask, hey, you know, have you thought about these are signs that God is building something up in you? That's not to say that all the priests aren't very different. If you've been around our diocese, all of us, all my brother priests, we're all very different people. But there are certain characteristics that keep us stable and allow us to flourish in the faith.
Is service something that is a process that can help in the discernment?
Absolutely. You know, service is one that as I encounter my brothers and sisters in Christ, we begin to know ourselves as well. We can encounter them in prayer. We can encounter them in each other. And as I begin to build the habit of sacrificing a want or need or a time or a resource of mine for another person, that'll light something up in someone. I had a college kid actually tell me this. And he said, you know, I never feel more alive than when I serve the poor. And, you know, me as one, a spiritual father, but two, as a vocation director, it's like, well, you should pay attention to that. That's a clear sign that the Lord is putting something on your heart. So anytime we begin to denounce something of ourselves and really give it free, full, sacrificial gift to our neighbor, that can allow many opportunities to see a possible vocation.
Do you have to be a University of South Carolina student to participate in the activities of the Newman Center?
The activities of the Newman Center, we're open to the universities, the community colleges of Columbia. So we have Midlands Tech. It's mainly the main campus of USC, but any college-age students, those are the ones that we target. Sometimes people are taking like a gap year, and they'll stay involved with us, which is great. So of course, all our masses and confession, all the sacraments are open. The particular events that we have are tailored for our undergraduate and graduate gap year USC Columbia students, as well as any of the community colleges around.
If folks wanted to learn more about the Newman Center or St. Thomas More Church or the Office of Vocations?
Yeah, so for our Catholic Campus Ministry, our Newman Center, it's based at Green and Pickens right there at St. Thomas More. The website's the easiest way to do it. It's stthomasmoreusc.org, St. Thomas More. And then for vocations, our website is nested in the diocesan website, and that's sccatholic.org. And so there's a big vocations tab right there. Both contact informations come to me, both on the diocesan page and on the campus ministry page. So I'd be happy to help anybody on either of those.
Well, Father Williams, thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for what you do as well.
Catholic Radio in South Carolina.